Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is Ken English. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. This is a special edition of Liquid Lounge. Liquid Lounge is a program that's focused on the water side. This particular program is called Ask Judy, and it's focused on the land side. There are 10,000 people, give or take a few every year, are involved in an accident of some sort that has great impact on the rest of their life. If they're not killed in an auto accident, they're paralyzed. And that's basically what we're going to talk about for the next 30 minutes or so, is paralysis. What paralysis does to not only the person who's involved, but to the family and the friends. Judy Clark is my guest today. Judy is my sister, and we've had to deal with this. Judy's had to deal with it every day since. I think about it on occasion, but I don't think about it every day like you do. Do I, Judy?
No, I don't think you have to.
I don't think anybody can really deal with it except for the person that it happens to. So why don't you say hello to the people who will listen in coming weeks, because the show is archived and kept online, and you know, just to recap a little bit. I mean, even though you know we've gone through this before, if somebody will be listening for the first time, what happened to you?
Okay. July 18, 2000, I donated blood at the hospital. Used to be a picture of health, real good condition, and very healthy, and donated blood, have done that before. And that particular evening, for some reason, I just was very lightheaded. Of course, you're supposed to eat and drink before you leave the premises, and I just was in a hurry to get home. So 10 minutes from leaving from the hospital, I fainted at the wheel, and so I didn't even see the accident happening. I hit the airbag, well, the airbag hit me, and I hit a guardrail and broke my neck, had a cervical spine injury, C6-7. So about an hour later, I was back at the hospital in intensive care in a coma for 2 weeks on a ventilator and paralyzed from the chest down and in my hands. And at that time, I couldn't even lift up my arms, but I was on the vent with a brace on my neck. And for 2 months, I was in the hospital that I had just donated blood in and then was transferred to for 2 months in Kessler Rehab, which was in West Orange. All this took place in New Jersey. And I was there for 2 months until they discharged me to send me home to be able to function on my own.
Well, according to a website called Medline Plus, paralysis is the loss of muscle function in part of your body. It happens when something goes wrong with the way messages pass between your brain and muscles. Paralysis can be complete or partial. It can occur on one or both sides of your body. It can occur in just one area, or it can be widespread. Paralysis is the lower half. Paralysis of the lower half of your body, including both legs, is called paraplegia. Paralysis of the arms and legs is quadriplegia. That's where you are, isn't it?
Right. My arms move, but my fingers don't. And for the chest, I don't feel anything.
Well, when you were in the hospital, what's the first that you remember?
First thing I remember, I couldn't move my arms. I didn't know I couldn't move my legs. I was kind of in a daze probably for a couple of months because I didn't know why I couldn't move and why I was there, and I could hear all the machines going, and I couldn't turn my head, and I couldn't talk. I guess I was in a pretty bad way.
Yeah,
and
I guess
all I
could
do was look around to try to understand, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And again, when you can't talk, it's kind of hard to, I mean, they were doing the medications, and I was heavily medicated. Again, you know, they had to did surgery on my neck, which I think they said it took like 11 hours, a neck infusion. So I don't think my body, of course, was in the state of shock and with a terrible trauma like that. And when I finally did get the cap on my throat on the vent after I was off the ventilator, I was able to ask and find out what was happening, and then they told me I would never walk again the rest of my life. I was 47, and I'd always have pins and needles in my hands and never be able to use my fingers.
Hmm.
was a lot to remember.
Yeah, and certainly it had to be a lot of a shock as it unfolded and as you started to grasp that, because I would imagine at first you'd say, oh, no, that can't possibly be true.
Yeah, and I just didn't see the accident, so it was like a blink of an eye. I was driving home and everything got black. I could still hear the music in my car, and I thought I felt fine, but it was that quick second that I lost consciousness and swayed across a main highway, 287 up in New Jersey, and lucky enough that I did not hit anybody, but by bouncing off the guardrails, just hit straight on, apparently, they said, one of the guardrails, and then the airbag, you know, of course, I guess knocked my head back. I was in a Sebring, and I'm only 5'3", so there's not a lot of meat that I sit low in that, so I just snapped my neck.
Well, just for the record, did you have a seatbelt on?
No.
Yeah, that, and whether or not that would have made a big difference, it is a lesson that many people need to take, myself included.
Yes,
and every once in a while, I'll be driving around even today, and I'll look and I'll say, oh, gee, the seatbelt, I better put it on. And you know, and I would have to say that if you didn't have that accident, I probably would be driving around without a seatbelt much more frequently.
Yes, because everybody's in a hurry, and it only takes, what, a second more? And look at how it could affect your life for the rest of your life. So, yes,
so,
I'm sure
so
that...
Talk a little bit about how it has affected the rest of your life. Just to kind of bring me and whomever in the future up to date. You finally got out of the hospital. What happened after that?
And then my family was trying to take care of me while my house was being modified, because once you're confined to a wheelchair for the rest of your life, you definitely have to modify the home that you're living in. And I was lucky enough, most of the living area was all on the one level, was a raised ranch. So the downstairs, of course, I was never going to be able to get down there to, but all the living space was upstairs, so they had to get a new driveway. I had to get a driveway in there so people could at least take me places, because there's no way of getting out of there. And modify the bathrooms, had to rip them down and make them larger for the shower chair, and the doorways, a couple of the doorways had to be opened up. So for 3 months, it was a little very inconvenient for everybody living there, because the construction was going on while I was still living there. It wasn't very good.
And so that was in New Jersey. A couple of years ago, you decided that you were ready to move on to some other place. Where are you now?
Right, in Port Orange, Florida, beautiful Port Orange, Florida. 3 years ago, my sister moved down here, actually almost 4 years ago, down to Port Orange, because I never, ever could do something like this on myself. You need helpers. I certainly need a house that would accommodate me. I can't get up out of the chair. So I came to visit my sister just for 2 weeks in the summertime, the hottest part of Florida, and it was great for me because, again, my circulation is not that good, so the heat is wonderful for me. I haven't stopped smiling since I moved down here 2.5 years ago, so this definitely was the right move. Came to visit her and then rented out my house up in New Jersey, let my helpers go because I needed, you know, helpers in the morning and at night to get me up and to get me back into bed. And then I quit my job. I had a job there 3 years working in a billing department in the medical field, and because that's what I've done for the last 30 years. I used to be an office manager in a medical practice, and up until when I got hurt. So I went back to work a year and a half after the accident, worked there 3 years, and I don't think I missed a day, unless it was a scheduled vacation day. And then moved down here, found a new job 2 weeks down here, bought a beautiful home, and hired helpers, and my sister, until I got the right helpers, helped me out, and she's wonderful, because without her, it would not have been possible.
Well, the helper issue is something that keeps coming up. It's not easy to get help, is it?
No, because I do not go through an agency, because that's way too expensive, and you don't get qualified help that way either. So, I mean, you could pay twice as much as what I'm paying, go through an agency, but the insurance doesn't pay that either, because this is called custodial care. Even though I can't get in and out of bed and do the general personal care for myself, I just run an ad in the paper and I do a background check on the ladies, and I try to have at least 3 or 4 people so that if somebody can't make it or somebody has car trouble or the children are sick or one thing or another, or they just decide to quit, that I can usually get one of the other ladies to pick up the hours so I can hire someone new.
Now, generally, you are finding one excuse after another within the helpers. What are some of the reasons? I mean, the bottom line is that you can't get up in the morning or go to bed at night without the help. So when somebody agrees that they'll do this for whatever the wage is, for an hour they're going to come over and help you, what happens at 7 o'clock when they don't show up?
Well, this week has been probably the worst one in the 8 years that this has happened. It just happened to be one particular week. One evening, one of the girls called at 8. Everybody comes at 9:30 at night to tell me she had car trouble, couldn't get there, couldn't borrow a car. So I was able, of course, to be sitting up watching TV, to scoot around, and I, of course, never heard everybody's number on my cell phone. So I called, I think, 3 or 4 of my helpers if they were lucky enough to be home. One definitely said she could come over, so I was done. That was good. One of the other mornings, and this is all this week, at 10 to 7 in the morning, the husband of the woman calls to say they were on their way to the hospital, that she had a real severe abdominal problem, was probably going to be in the hospital for a couple of days, and she was my regular morning person, so I was stuck there until somebody answered their cell phone. So I was only late to work for about 10 minutes, which wasn't too bad, but I kind of panicked a little bit because I just can only sit there dialing, hoping somebody to answer the phone. So I'm at the mercy of somebody saying, yes, I can, or I'm not, you know, that they will answer the phone. And then I just hired a new person. That was probably the best one. She wrote down in the evening instead of the morning that she was supposed to come. So at 6:45, when she was supposed to start for the first day, she didn't call. She didn't show up. And I didn't know at that time when I left a message for her on her cell phone, she had lost her cell phone. So the two messages I left, she never, ever got. She doesn't have a home number, so she was just moving down to the area. So, again, I got on the phone calling somebody in at 7:30 instead of 6:45. I got someone to come in. She moved real fast. She's one of my helpers I've had for 8 months. Moved real fast. We grabbed whatever we could for lunch, and I was in my car and out the door. And it was only maybe that day, maybe 10 or 15 minutes late. So I was late twice this week and only one evening. Somebody didn't make it. But when it's crammed in on 1 week, it hits you a little bit harder.
Well, it's certainly much, I mean, it's grave and serious whenever it happens, but to have it happen several times in 1 week is really, you know, very much of a concern that you can't depend on these people. Do the people have any particular training? I mean, what do you
look
for?
No, I train them. I train them. That's all. I just regular people with hopefully a good heart.
So when you run an ad in the paper, what do you say?
I'm just real brief. I say I need someone for 7 a.m. or 7 and or 7 a.m. and or 9:30 p.m. because I don't like to go to bed much before that. For personal care, woman preferred. I'd rather a lady, unless it was a, you know, a male nurse, that's so different. But usually the men that have called in the past when I didn't put that in there were just local gentlemen here that I guess felt like they could do this kind of work. But when it gets to the personal care, I'd prefer the female. And
sure.
The location where I am off Airport Road in Port Orange. And I think that's pretty much it. I just put the hours I need them, location where it was, and letting them know that it was flexible, either the morning or night. And when people would call, they'd say, oh, morning is better. And I would tell them what was available, have them come out for an interview. I have application forms and a criminal check approval form that they get permission and the police in the area here do the background check for me before I hire someone.
So that's an ongoing process. It's one of those things that, you know, every few months pretty much you have to know, sometimes quicker, but you know you're going to be rotating people because after a while they're doing other stuff.
Right. People get another job, they move in another area, decide it's not worth it, the gas prices are too high. I probably have 50 excuses I could rattle up. But all I do is ask everybody to give me at least 3 weeks' notice because running an ad takes usually more than a week or two to even get anybody to answer an ad because I don't need them for a lot of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them if they can at least give me 3 weeks' notice when they're leaving, they don't get the last paycheck. Not a lot of money, but, I mean, if you're not getting paid for 4 or 5 hours, you might think to give me 3 weeks' notice and let me try to, you know, hire somebody.
Well, part of it is some precaution. It's just common courtesy. I mean, as you said, it's you're hoping that you find somebody with a good heart as well as, you know, a need for the job. There's a number of organizations that have I've become much more aware of since your accident. The Miami Project to Cure Paralysis, since I'm down in Miami, that's the one that's most noted down here. Mark Bonacani is a college football player, broke his neck, you know, and from that time, they were very fortunate that the father had connections, you know, and was able to do something very, very significant. I mean, they've got research scientists working on you know, possible cures. Stem cell research is still, I guess, the best or what they're pursuing as the most possible. Let's say cure, but is there anything besides stem cell research that's leading in a good direction?
No, and my son has been great. He's been following, he's 31, and he's been following the stem cell research, and he thinks definitely as he reads everything that we're getting that much closer to and finding at least that I might be able to move a leg or, gosh, just to get my fingers back, I think would be the best thing. Because you don't realize until you can't use those fingers anymore how hard it is to pick something up as easy as a fork or cut something or get it out of the refrigerator when the digits aren't working. But as far as they're hoping, and if it's not my lifetime, he thinks it might be right after me. So that close within the next probably 100 years would be fabulous for everybody who's suffering with paralysis from strokes and, of course, spinal cord injuries and anything else that would be causing that kind of a major, like MS, and gosh, I'm sure there's a lot of other things that cause people to be paralyzed.
Well, certainly, I mean, like Steve Reeves,
his brother Christopher Reeves,
riding a horse, you know, falling off the horse and breaking his neck. You know, that one, I guess, was such a shocker because everybody, even though you don't really believe in Superman in the ability to fly, he was Superman, you know, from a movie standpoint, and poof, you know, he's a quadriplegic.
Yes.
So it can happen to anybody. The organizations over the years that have helped you, I know that there's the Medical Needs Foundation in Mountain Lakes. Maybe you can just touch on that and any others that you're aware of that people who listen to this, and you know, somebody's going to listen to this program because a family member has just been paralyzed. Perhaps you could just touch on a couple of things that you've learned over the years.
Okay. If the medical needs in New Jersey did not find me, and that was in my town of Mountain Lakes, if they in particular didn't find me, my family knew nothing about anybody that financially could help us. And everything, I think all the modifications, everything to my house, just roughly were about $75,000. I don't know, probably even more, where financially they help people in a devastating kind of terrible accident, injury, illness that might take place. I don't know in other states, and I'm sure that there is other organizations that help people. But when my family was in such shock at what happened, and now I'm home, and what do you do with me then? We didn't have helpers or anything lined up. They sure, you know, had to learn on as they went how to take care of me, and I certainly wasn't mentally in the capacity for at least a year to be able to try to even instruct them because I was just, like, so weak and frail. I was really no good for them. They just had to figure it out themselves. So as far as financially, thank God that Organization of Medical Needs found us, and my son has been helping with that organization ever since for 8 years now, doing fundraisers and helping them raise money, and it's wonderful that he took such a, he just wanted to thank them back by him volunteering and doing what he could every year on the fundraisers. I don't know about anything in Florida. I've never looked into anything if they have helping, because I pay for all the workers myself out of my pocket, so that, you know, that is my expense, and I'm not sure if there is anything else, but the Division of Vocational Rehab is in every state, and as they call it, DVR, Division of Vocational Rehab, helps people with a disability for schooling and for going back to work. So they help you. I happen to find the job. I'm on my own. I applied online and got the job. But they would help me pursue a job because I definitely don't like to sit around all day long and do nothing. And if I want to pursue and go back to school for any kind of specialty, they would help with the funding, paying for that. And, again, I drive my own car, but they would have gotten lined up transportation. And they were great. They have counselors that can at least, you can go there, paid through the state, and I'm going to be getting a brand new van. I pay for the van, they pay for all the modifications, and the modifications to drive the van is going to be about $45,000. And they
Tell me a little bit about the van.
Oh, I can't wait. Probably in about a month. I've had the van I got now that medical needs did help me pay for that. It's a 2002 Dodge Caravan. It's wonderful. But being in the in New Jersey and with the weather, is what they said, there was a lot of body rot on the car, the floorboards underneath, and the ramp itself has a lot of rust on it. But mechanically, it's got, I think it's got maybe almost 90,000 miles on it. It's run like a champ all this time that I've had it. With the hand controls put in, it took them 3 months to build that. But the new one that I'm getting, because they're gonna, they wouldn't put all the new equipment in this old van. So it's going to be a real beautiful, again, a 2000, well, last year's 2007 Dodge Caravan, and this time with a sunroof, because I'm in the Sunshine State, better have the sun shining on me as much as I can. And it's absolutely beautiful, navy blue, that dark deep blue, and it's just, well, it's got 30 miles on it, so it's totally brand new. It's last year model. And then they're taking my my car here as a trade-in, and they probably can fix it up and use it just like as a rental. But it has that drop ramp on the side of the car.
Well, yeah, we've talked about this in over the course of a couple of weeks, and next week we're going to set up a special show for you. We're going to start doing it at 3:30 on Sunday. Right now the working title is Ask Judy, and I'll start promoting that a little bit more across this Blog Talk system. But you know that we can email the program around, so yeah, a couple people have heard it. When this one's done, we'll be able to email it around. So you want to say hello to anybody that we'll send it to, go ahead, right ahead.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You want to say hello to Jason or Scott or Maureen or any of the people that you know we're going to send this program to?
Oh, I was going to say, they're not online, are they, right now? I was going to say,
no, but they'll get the program during the week and they'll hear it, so you can say hello.
Oh. Hello. Hello, anybody that's listening. I love you all, and I'm glad that you are listening to the program, and hopefully for anybody who is going on to this program, there would be information that would be helpful. And if anybody had any questions or anything, I guess you said, can they dial in and ask questions or email?
They'll be able to dial in. If they'd like to send you an email, why don't you give your email address?
Okay, it's Easy Going. It's EZGOIN 6707 at yahoo.com.
All right, and we'll certainly be posting that information. The platform that we're using, Judy, and I know that you're going to be upgrading your computer system soon so that you'll be able to participate a little bit more with this, but there's what's called a blog capability, which means that on a screen on the computer, somebody could type in, and you can use a computer, right? You can type?
Oh, sure, yeah. I put little pegs on the side of my hand since my fingers don't work, and that's how I type the keyboard.
So somebody could actually type you in a question, you know, and right now I know that you're outside, but
right.
if we really got to a point where if you wanted to see on the screen, on the computer, if somebody's writing in a question, you could see what it is, or me as the board operator here,
oh.
I would see the note that comes up and somebody would sign in, and then they would say, ask Judy about such and such. And we could answer their questions, you know, essentially in real time.
Right, so, that'd be fine.
All right, we've just about run through a half an hour. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it wonderful when I'm sitting outside? There's no time span at all. It's just beautiful out here. I could talk and talk and talk, so that's great.
Well, the last thing I'd like you to just talk about is I'd like you to think about it for a couple seconds as I'm getting into this, but just a word of encouragement to anybody who might be listening that has a problem or has a family problem, you know, somebody, family member that's paralyzed. If you can give them a little motivational touch on this, please do.
Well, my first thing would be the main thing is try to stay positive, and especially if you got family members, just let them know how much you appreciate what they're doing. Because without them or without paid helpers, you can't do anything. So as much as, I feel very, very good, thankful that I'm not in any pain or discomfort. But if these ladies decide to quit because I'm crabby or because I'm finding fault or giving them too much to do in the period of time they're here, they're going to quit. You know, regardless of what you're paying them, they're not going to want to stay on. But they have a good time. I have some of them write me notes and leave it in my car, tell me how much they enjoy working for me. Just a special little thing. So the nice, the kindness certainly goes both ways. And hopefully I'll keep a couple, at least a couple of these workers for more than 6 or 7 weeks. You know, so I mean, if I didn't have to turn over the helpers, I feel like a champ. You know, because they give me that quality of life that I lost in the accident.
Well, just quickly, you're going to be going traveling this in a couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yes, my youngest daughter is 22, and she's graduating from college in Pennsylvania, up in the Allentown, Reading, Pennsylvania area. And so on the 15th, my son and I are going to be flying nonstop from Sanford straight up to, I think it's in Allentown, it's in Pennsylvania, airport there. I'm going to stay with my sister, who's in Mount Pocono. So we rented a van, but I can't drive it. So at least we got that all figured out. My son will drive the van, which I will be able to stay in my power chair and just scoot in there. And then they'll have the tie-downs in the van and stay at my sister's. So I got my helper up there. And I get to see my newest grandbaby, girl Kayla, Kayla Colucci, up there in Newton, New Jersey. So, and my daughter Michelle has 3 children, 8-year-olds, a 2-year-old. And then now the newest one is now almost 4 months old. So I get to go visit them for a couple of days, and so we'll be gone for almost a week, my son and I, traveling there. And for 2-hour nonstop for $225, that's the way to travel. No gas, no headaches, and you're there. It's going to be great.
All right, Judy, well, thank you so much for spending a little time with me. Obviously, you and I could do this, but I think it's nice that we're going to share this conversation with, can participate, and hopefully we get Jason to call in, and we get a couple others, and what you're saying, it's going to mean a lot to them, and certainly, I think the family can participate, and hopefully we get Jason to call in, and we get a couple others, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds wonderful.
All right, Judy, I love you.
Love you, too. Talk to you soon. All right, Ken.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye now. Well, this is Ken English, and we're coming to the conclusion of another half hour with Judy Clark. The program's called Ask Judy, and it really focuses on paralysis and life after paralysis sets in. It's been 8 years, and Judy's doing as well as one could possibly imagine, having been a able-bodied individual 1 minute and a quadriplegic the next, all in the blink of an eye. And in the course of the 8 years, she's met several people who have had similar occurrences. A young man who was paralyzed in a wrestling match, a state champion in New Jersey at the age of 17, landed wrong, and he's a quadriplegic. She's met a young boy, 16, in Florida, who was in an accident on a lake, wakeboarding, pulling behind a powerboat with 2 people on an inner tube. They hit the wake, bounced up in the air, and the girl who was traveling with this boy behind there, her knee hit his head at an angle and snapped his neck. He went into the water and stopped breathing for a while, and now at 16 is not only brain dead but paralyzed. That has terrific impact on the family, let alone the boy. So it happens to everybody, not everybody fortunately, but it happens to many people. And that's the purpose of the program. Next week on Sunday, the 11th of May, we'll start at 3:30 p.m. for a half an hour with Judy Clark. And we'll talk about her week, what it's like to deal with the need for help to get you up in the morning and get you to bed at night. But in between, she's rolling around in that power chair. She's got a job. She's got friends. She's got family. She's going to her daughter's graduation in a couple of weeks. So we'll be talking about that and then afterwards as well. This is Ken English. You've been listening to Ask Judy on blogtalkradio.com. Check in next week, 3:30 on Sunday, May 11th, Blog Talk Radio. And during the week, at noon at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, Spokane Preview at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, it's Liquid Lounge, and at 1 o'clock on Thursday, it's Miami Art Online. This is Ken English. Have a great week, and be thankful for what you got, because you don't know what it's like until it's gone.